And a good evening to you. So good to see you tonight. Trust you're doing well for Wednesday night Bible study. You're not even sure, are you? You're just in a deep stare. You don't even know where you are. You don't know how you got here. You're just kind of trying to find yourself. Well, I hope to help you with that a little bit tonight. And as we find ourselves in the middle of the Christmas season, what a joy, what a delight. And time is moving on, and tonight is kind of an important Wednesday night. It's the last Wednesday night that we have before Christmas. We do not have Wednesday night Bible study next week or the week after that. That would be the 19th or the 26th, and then we'll pick back up January 2nd, and we're communicating all of those things to the church and to you, and I know your calendar is full, your mind is full. That's why God invented the iPhone, right? So put it in your calendar or whatever you have there and stay abreast of what is going on. Hope and pray that you received a prayer sheet when you came in and they're available to you. And we always take a few moments on Wednesday night to go over our prayer sheet and to find out who in our body needs prayer, to find out what we're trusting the Lord for and over, and then to celebrate what God has done by way of praise and answered prayer within our church body. And so a precious time. This gives our folks opportunity to get here that are running a little bit late and those that are working in the Awana program to transition over into the Bible study. On the front of the page, you notice there in the middle that we have our upcoming events. And this is just a little bit of a reminder here as we make our way now through December into January, and you see some things there. Senior Saints, December 20th, they have an activity. Hope and pray that you know about that. And there's a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk. I believe they've got a good start on that. Some services that we are changing there or not having. And then, of course, our Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock. Make sure that you have that down. One major difference to our Christmas Eve service this year is that we will not be turning on the Christmas lights after the Christmas Eve service. We're going to take a break on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day. So if you I want you to know about that. I'll make a big deal about that on Sunday as well. Just way too difficult to facilitate everybody. We'll just have our service at 5 o'clock and then be able to make our way to our plans, as I'm sure that you'll have plans as well. Couple of announcements that do deal with Christmas season around here. Also, on December 24th, we're still looking for some nursery and pre-K help. There's a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk. This would involve you missing the Christmas Eve service as far as sitting out and working it. If you're willing to sacrifice that, we sure could use your help in our children's ministry. I promise you that we'll have plenty of things to bribe them with and all of that. You won't have to work too hard in there. They'll want all of that. Christmas card box, I was told that's in the lobby, and it is full and overflowing. So please stop by there on your way out. Ms. Tamara Callahan is organizing that. She has many of the cards already rubber banded to put together with your name. And so swing by there and grab them and check that on a weekly basis for our services as we hand out our cards to one another. On the front of the prayer sheet, we also have those folks that we are praying for, those folks that need to be saved. And this is a continued prayer request there. And I promised you a blessing that happened, and I want to share it with you now, guys. Go ahead and get that fired up, and I'll tell you when to play it in just a second. We come on Wednesday night because we believe that God answers prayer, right? And we know that to be true, and we are concerned about the souls of men and women, and everything we do here is that folks can find salvation in the person of Christ and know a living relationship with the living God through His Son. And those tentacles spread out far as desire within our body. And so a few Wednesday nights ago, we had a precious lady all the way in the back, and Nadia Charles, she raised her hand and she said, "Pastor, I've got a friend or an acquaintance named Mr. Brown who's dying, and he is in Arlington, Virginia, and he does not know the Lord as his Savior, and if he dies without Christ, then he'll suffer eternity without the Lord. And I'm burdened for him, and I want the church to pray. Does anybody remember that prayer request? Okay. While I was standing here receiving the prayer request, not often does this happen, but the Holy Spirit of God said, ask her where the man is. And so if you remember, I said, Nadia, if you'll give me a city where that person is, I'll try to find a preacher to go and to visit Mr. Brown. And so she texts me an address and a city. It took me a little while to get a preacher to come and to see him, but I want you to hear what the preacher told me on my cell phone, and I'll ask you to play that at this time if you would.
Pastor Hunter, Brother Bishop, the Lighthouse Baptist Church, Alexandria. Just wanted to give you an update on Mr. Brown. We've been going to see him every day. We probably missed a day here or there. But on Tuesday night this past week, he was awake. I sent one of our soul winners over, one of our men, and he was awake and he was clear. And the nurse was astonished that he was awake and said he hadn't been awake in weeks. And so he went through the plan of salvation. Obviously he has a trach, and so he's not talking, but he was squeezing the hand and nodding his head. And he led him through the salvation message, led him through the need to cry out to God for salvation, and then asked him if he did it. And he shook his head yes and squeezed his hand, and that he had. Now, I can tell you that he hasn't been awake again since then.
Did you hear that?
And so I haven't been able to confirm that personally, but the fellow is our guy that talked to him is a solid man, a solid soul winner. He didn't make stuff up. So based on the report that he gave to me, that's pretty exciting news. So I kind of want to let you know that before Sunday, and we'll continue to reach out to him and go by the hospital to see him as well. Now let me know if you need any more, Brother Bishop, Lighthouse Alexandria. Okay, have a great preaching day tomorrow. Bye.
You heard amen to that. Isn't that fantastic? So understand what he said. Laying in a bed dying, not awake. We prayed, and miraculously he woke up for a few moments. God sent a messenger to him to give him the gospel, received the Lord, has not been awake since that night. But when he does take his final breath, he will wake up in glory. Man, that puts goosebumps on me. I don't know if that puts goosebumps on anybody else. If not, then your goosebumpers broke, baby. Let me tell you that. All right, so I'll tell you also what that did too is people call us from all over the nation asking us to go to hospitals to make visits once in a while on the return. Boy, that sure brought a focus. They visited him every day. They were aggressive at that. And man, I sure want to reciprocate that. Appreciate Brother Bishop so much in his effort there. So these folks that we're praying for on the front of this prayer sheet, don't stop praying for them. I said all that to say that. As you open the prayer sheet, you see all that we're praying for. Some requests have been called in already, and I just want to bring them to your attention real quick. We prayed for Larry Ferriman. Larry is our dear brother. Larry went to a surgeon on Tuesday, and they are going to biopsy the lump that is at the back of his tongue. They do believe that it is cancer. And so please pray for Brother Larry Ferriman. His wife's name is Rose. They're in good spirits as far as with the Lord, but they're trusting the Lord. We're continuing pray for Brother Joe Hinkle. Carol DiPietro has an unspoken. Audrey Snyder is asking prayer for her mother, Marion, and she's going to have a biopsy done on her lung as well. The name here, Neil Singh. Neil is Joey Callahan's neighbor. He is in the hospital with stomach pains. He may have been dismissed, but he went there today. Neil is not a believer. He's a Hindu man. Comes to our church. and participates in certain things. At least he comes once in a while to a service, but he participates in the fall festival. He participates in the lights and has a giving heart to the ministry, and he doesn't even know the Lord. But we've been praying that God, don't tell him this, we've been praying for him to be saved. I think God put him in the hospital. He might get upset at that, but if he comes to know the Lord, it's worth going to the hospital, right? And so pray for Neil. Got a request that came in via email to me, and this came from Carmen, and you would know Carmen, her husband Lovell Beckford. They have a granddaughter, Lareen, two R's, L-A-R-R-I-N-E. She's 18 years of age, and Satan's got her to a place where she does not want to continue life on this earth. She feels like there's no purpose. She feels like that she has a right to make this decision, and they're trying and begging God to intervene in behalf of her. And so pray for Lareen. Her mother's name is Karine with a C, C-A-R-R-I-N-E as well. And we need God to intervene in this 18-year-old lady's life and pray that she would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. Life on this earth is difficult, but life is sweet knowing the Lord. And I pray that. The Barnes wrote a beautiful missionary letter. These are our missionaries to Costa Rica. And you can pray and find out what God is doing down there. You know, you never know how the Lord uses certain things. Heard tremendous feedback from Sunday night about how God used the children's program in the life of people. We had a lady that looked on our website. She found out that we had a service at 5 o'clock. She came. She knew it was a children's service. She didn't know it was a children's service, I think, until she got here. But the night before, she had been to a funeral with a friend that had killed herself. And she was valuing the joy of life. And God knew the perfect service to bring her to. He brought her to children. Nobody enjoys life more than children do, right? And she sent us a beautiful email. I don't even know if she's a believer or not, but she sent us a beautiful email just saying what a blessing and how God used that service in her life. And so I give God wonderful glory for that as well. All right, maybe you have a prayer request or a praise over here. We'll start over here. Patricia? All right, Patricia's asking prayer for an unspoken for her life personally, and then also for the students of Plantation Baptist Christian School, and plus all of our young people that are in school as they approach the end of the semester, that God will settle them, God will protect them and keep them. Our students that are away at college should be coming home on the weekend here, and so that God would watch over our youth and our young people. All right, this section here, Joy. Oh, wow. Lori Gibney is in the hospital, and she battles her health issues and has battled them for years. God has been faithful. She going there today, Lori, or Joy? Okay. How many know Lori? You know Lori, she sits right back there, blonde-haired lady, sits there with her husband, Glenn. Pray for Lori for sure. Brother Ben? Your mom had a stroke 2 days ago? Ocala, right? Is your mom a believer, Brother Ben? By her testimony, she knows the Lord? Wonderful. Pray for Brother Ben's mom. What's mom's name?
Jill.
She had a stroke 2 days ago. Her health has been failing for some time. And we need God to help us there. Okay, this section. Oh, in the back, Nelson and then Nick. Right. Janet is your cousin? Okay. Would Janet be a believer, Brother Nelson? She has not come to faith in Christ. Okay. We need to pray for Janet's soul as well as her body. Brother Nick. Pray for Alexander. He's traveling back from Greece tonight. So he'll be flying all night into Miami or Fort Lauderdale. Extra prayer going into Miami. For sure. All right. Brother Dave.
Josh is coming home tomorrow. Traveling verses for him. I have a friend here, Chad. I want to pray for healing for him, for his knee. And also wisdom and strength and peace that God would continue to guide him in his life. It's his first time here tonight.
Wonderful. Chad, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We always enjoy having our guests, and you've come to a place that knows how to pray. If you're on our list, look out, baby. Here comes the answers there for sure.
Pray for Jessica also, her second time back, and that God would continue to heal her with her condition, and also peace.
Peace. Jessica, welcome back. I knew your face. I just didn't know your name. Praying for Chad. For healing as well, for wisdom, guidance, and strength. Jessica, and healing as well, and for peace, and for Brother Dave's son, Josh. He'll be traveling home like many of our other young people as well. Andrea?
Can you just do it?
Yes, good. Wonderful. Pray for the Webbs, Chris and Bonnie. We know Caden, we prayed for him. He had two viruses at one time, was hospitalized. And how old is Caden now?
He'll be 10 months.
Continue to pray for them. If you're on social media, they have some beautiful pictures of their family. Jack.
Travel and mercies for all the kids coming back. Wings coming back Thursday, but we have all these kids coming back.
Yeah. Wow.
He's walking.
Wow. This is the man that had the motorcycle accident?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And he's up walking around. We know a little bit about that, don't we? God is good there, isn't he? Robert's not a believer, though, is he?
Yes. Yes. But I don't know if he's saved or not.
All right. Well, we need God to open that door that we can get him the gospel. Pray for Robert Carter. We give God praise that he's up walking around. Boy, we had some horrific motorcycle accidents in our community the last couple of days. If you saw on the news, horrific ones. Mom, did you have one?
Yes. Ann Florence, my sister-in-law, is going in for cataract surgery tomorrow morning.
Pray for Florence. She's going to have cataract surgery tomorrow. Philip?
A nephew of ours had a motorcycle accident down at Key West, and they airlifted him up to Kendall Trauma Center. He's had lots of problems with his eye and the side of his face. They've done surgery on it. Just had skin up over his knee, but he's saved. But we've got to pray for him because I don't know if salvation is really
right. What is his name?
David Holland.
David, this is your nephew.
Our nephew.
Your nephew. Was this recent? How old would David be?
About 30.
Okay. Pray for their nephew, David. Claims to know the Lord. We're not sure about that. At least is not close to the Lord right now. And God may be trying to get his attention, for sure. Miss Jessica?
Yeah, I have a friend,
Janet?
Janice.
A tumor. Pray for Jessica's friend Janice. They have found a tumor within her, and she's burdened for her. Pray that God would minister to her, her body and her soul as well. Brother Lillard. Nancy Sexton, and Lillard is giving God glory that he's walking.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Hal?
Benny Henson?
Yes.
Pastor Fred Carr, his wife, hospital, pneumonia, heart failure.
Bill Henson used to pastor the First Baptist Church, Fort Lauderdale. You know where that is, downtown? He preached here in our church. You went to school with him?
I played football with him. He was a quarterback, I was a halfback.
He was a quarterback, Bill, and you were a halfback. Awesome. And so his wife, Betty, is very, very sick and needs our prayers. Faye? Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Barbara, did you have your hand up?
I did. I have three unspoken.
Three unspoken. Okay. Barbara has three unspoken requests, and she's asking prayer for our dear sister, Judy Dulligite, who has not been feeling well, and she needs our prayers. Carolyn? One unspoken for Carolyn Stone. Beulah. Okay. Her name?
Helen Thomas.
Quality of life
there is almost zero.
Quality of life is almost zero. Would she possibly be a Christian?
She's Catholic, and Beulah has been preaching and talking to her for years.
Yeah.
And at times, she seems like she's ready to accept.
Right.
And understand.
Right.
And then backs off somehow or another.
Right. Right.
But she told me, she said, Beulah, I pray every day for the Lord to help me with my pain, because she's reached a point now that she couldn't even walk.
Cornelius was much like this woman in the Bible. You ought to read Acts chapter 10. He prayed every day. He did everything. But God had to send somebody to him to tell him how to be saved. And if this lady's in the hospital, she's captive audience. Go get her. Go get her. What is she going to do? Say, get out? She can't make you. You know, sometimes when people are like this and they're at the end of their life, I just walk in and I just flat tell them, God's given you this chance, and I'm here today to offer you salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to accept it. And I'm kind, but I don't let fear back me down. And you'll pray before you go. God will open a door there. And maybe he needs you two to go do that. Brother Jim? unspoken for Brother Ingersoll. Got a lot of those tonight. Okay. Yes, Ginny. A name?
Ray
Carlisle. You know, these people don't even know we're praying for them, but we're praying for them, and God's moving on that. And Ray Carlisle is their neighbor of Tom and Jenny, and has a hole in his stomach there that had to go in the hospital, and he needs our prayer. I see a hand back there. Danny, and then Sandra. Yeah. Wonderful.
Almost not hearing the lower registers.
Right. Do you notice a difference?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's gotten much better.
Maybe your singing will get better. That's a great praise, man. Yeah, wonderful. We did pray for you too, Sandra. Too unspoken for Sandra Bailey. Okay. Brother Willard, welcome home. Been gone a long time. How's Riet? She'll have that down here next week. Right. All right, so there's some more information about Lori. They're going to have to do a CAT scan for her, and she needs our prayers. And Riet needs our prayers as well. You know, she almost passed a few months ago. God spared her life. She's got to have a big procedure done on her heart next week. And so continue to, or begin to bathe that in prayer for Riet Smith. Carlos? Okay. She's a believer too. I was getting ready to ask. Now you guys know I'm going to ask, so you give that information out. Be probably good. That's good. She's a believer. Okay. One unspoken as well. Carlos is asking prayer for his sister Doris. She's in Honduras. She's in the hospital with severe bronchitis. She is a believer. He's also asking prayer for an unspoken request. Diamond. Tracy. PTO mom, parent, teacher mom. Yeah. Wow. Pray for Tracy. It's a friend of Diamond's. Does Tracy know the Lord, you know? Is she a Christian? Or?
I believe so.
Talked about it. Yeah. Pray that God give Diamond an opportunity to do this, to speak to her about, to speak to Tracy about the Lord. Okay, James.
I just want to continue the prayer request for Sophia Santana.
Yeah.
This weekend. She's almost walking with a walker right now.
Wow.
They've got tape on her right eye, and she could help it learn how to open again.
Wow.
But she's making a lot of progress with that.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Mark Brown?
Brack.
We prayed for him one time before or no?
I think so.
Yes.
Very godly man, 42 years old, 2 years and a half, they find out that he has lung cancer, been battling
Mark
Raft.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to Danny's doctor and get my hearing checked. No, Isabel, that's fine. It's fine. All right. How about in the balcony before we have our prayer? Anybody? Danny? Okay. Pray for Danny and Brandy. They're trying to pre-qualify for a loan to buy a home and was denied a loan initially, but it looks like the Lord might be opening a door there. When would you know something, or do you have?
I have to turn in some paperwork.
Okay. All right. We'll pray for that for sure. Okay. All right. Let me, you keep, did I miss somebody? Nerlene, did you have your hand up? An unspoken for Nerlene St. Villas. All right, we're going to have prayer now and sing and have our lesson. Heavenly Father God, much to think about tonight, much to digest, much to walk with people. I do believe, Lord, that one of the uniqueness of Plantation Baptist Church is the Wednesday night service. You've given us an ability to be personal, kind of a political word is transparent, but we're able to bear one another's burdens. We're able to share some things. Sometimes they're heavy, and we just use a word called unspoken. And unspoken means I'm just so burdened, I don't want to communicate it, but I need God to meet a need in my life. Lord, there were numerous folks in that way tonight. And I'm so glad that you know our heart and our thoughts. You know the intents. You know the things that are buried deep within our souls. We'll talk about our soul tonight. And I know, God, that as we cry out to you in this, with this particular, as far as these needs, we may not know them, but you do. And so we add to those requests that you'd meet them faithfully, that you'd meet them according to your will, that you'd meet them with grace and mercy. And Lord, that you'd meet them quickly. Lots of health issues tonight, Lord, all across everything from almost every type of body and need. And Lord, some of it is physical, some of it is mental, some of it is emotional, some of it would be spiritual. Some are awaiting CAT scans, some are awaiting heart procedures, some need answers. I'm so glad that you put in the Bible that Jesus is the great physician. So many times we come to the great physician. Lord, many of these folks that have need here are not believers. And that's just like you. You can use and you can touch us in our health. You can touch us in the problem. And that would require us to think and to stop and to look and to wonder and to see, is there a God? Do we know that God? Will he love me? Can he help me? All of these questions are in the Bible, and the answer to those questions is yes, he will. And we thank you for that. Lord, there's others that are dealing with loss. There's others, Lord, that are needing wisdom, guidance, strength. Father, we think of Danny and his request. They need approvals for loans and opportunities, if it be your will, to be able to do that. Lord, some folks are at the point of death and transitioning, and we need you to meet those needs. And if there's believers, that'll be a glorious day. If they're not saved, then spare their lives till they can know the gospel. Lord, I think about those folks that are in the hospital tonight. I pray that you'd watch over them as they lay in that bed. God, just use us to minister to them. Thank you for the wonderful salvation report of Mr. Brown. That is miraculous, God. We reckon that to the almighty hand of God, and I love you for that. Lord, I want you to help me teach the lesson tonight. I do believe that you've laid this lesson on my heart. I do believe, God, that we will need this lesson, all of us, within the next 2 weeks of our lives. And I pray that we not forget it, that you'd put it on our hearts, and that you'd help me with power to preach it and teach it. Thank you for the folks that are here tonight. Thank you for our guests. I pray that they sense the presence of God, they sense the love of God, that they'll be blessed for being here. Watch over all the activity now. Bless us as we sing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, stand if you would. Take your hymn book. I don't know if you know hymn 266, but I love this hymn. It exalts the name of the Lord. It describes the name of the Lord as beautiful, and we know that to be true. I want you to sing the first and the last verse, and then we'll shake hands. 266, that beautiful name.
That angels brought down to earth. They whispered it low one night long ago to a maiden of lowly birth. That beautiful name from sin has power to free. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. I love that blessed name, that wonderful name, made higher than all in heaven. 'Twas whispered, I know, in my heart long ago, to Jesus my life I've given. That beautiful name, from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name.
Tonight, if you would. What happened? What happened? As you come back to your place, you may be seated. I hope you have your Bible tonight. Take your Bible, if you would, and make your way to the book of Luke. Luke is in the New Testament, and Luke is such a fitting book for the season. Luke is one of two Gospels that we find the record of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Matthew and Luke are two books that are visited much this time of year. In scripture readings, in cards, in messages. And I trust that if you're not familiar with the entire Christmas story, you'll spend some time in Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, come back to Matthew chapter 1, finish with Matthew chapter 2, and just kind of link the story together. You never get tired of hearing the old, old story. I want to pick up, if you would, please, tonight in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 2. I think I'll just go ahead and read the story to you just a little bit. Some of the most famous part of the story, some of the most familiar part of the story. I would beg you to make sure that you have a pen tonight to write down some truths that I think that we will need within the next 2 weeks of our lives. And I'll share more about that with you in a moment. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. You know that to be the Lord Jesus. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now, I want you to pay very careful attention to verses 16 to 20. "And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and," what's that word? "Pondered them in her heart." I want to speak to you tonight, a little devotional, a Wednesday night lesson, simply entitled, "Truths to Ponder This Christmas Season." When I think about this verse, verse number 19, I get a little bit of a visual about what is going on. In Mary's life at this moment, there is a lot going on. You understand that she has been visited by the angel Gabriel. You understand that she has been visited by the Holy Spirit of God. You understand that God has placed within her womb the God-man. You understand the favor that God has put upon her. You understand that she should not be with child in human understanding. She was not to that part of marriage. You understand that everything about her has been put at risk, even her very life, in doing this. By her own admonition, in just a moment, I will show you that she never thought anything like this could ever happen to her. Her own personal view of herself was that she was not worthy nor capable. She was regarded herself simply as a handmaid, a servant of the Lord. She finds herself providentially thrust, and one of the greatest acts to ever happen upon the earth, God becoming a man. She finds herself thrown into a position here that you could use words like frightening, overwhelming, awed, out of her mind. As a matter of fact, her position was such that the angel himself had to calm her down. In this particular night, she's getting ready to give birth. And I have been in that process 4 times in my life when my wife has been ready to give birth. And I'm telling you, brother, there's a lot going on. I don't remember much of it, but I remember a little bit of it. She finds herself almost, even though she's one of the main characters, I think as you read the text, she kind of finds herself a little bit as a spectator. Pretty soon there's angels about her. Pretty soon as you read the passage of Scripture, you find that the shepherds have kind of overwhelmed her, and the word and the story and the awesomeness is getting on, is moving on here. And you come to this little moment in verses 16 to 19 when the shepherds show up at the manger scene. And, I mean, they are excited. Matter of fact, verse number 20 talks about how they're glorifying and praising God, and they've heard all of these things, and you just can imagine them bursting in on this little private moment and just almost at a rapid pace telling what the angels have told them, and they're all rejoicing, and they're hearing all of this, and in the quietness of that moment, Mary's hearing what they're saying, and the Bible says in verse number 19, that she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I read that, and I read into that verse Mary trying to make sense of the moment. You know, I find that that's still something that people seem to struggle with, making sense in the moment. It's fitting tonight that we have touched on, and I brought a prayer request about this, somebody desiring to end their own life. We had a lady visit us on Sunday night that had just come from a funeral from a lady that had ended her own life. You might be here tonight thinking about ending your own life in some capacity. It goes through people's minds. Did you know that the highest death rate when it comes to month is the month of December? December seems to be the toughest month for people to get through, for people to make sense of what is going on. Mary is facing so much change, so much going on. Everyone around her is happy and shouting and communicating. And I just kind of picture Mary over here and in the quietness of her moment, and the Bible says she's pondering these things, and really, truly, I think she's trying to connect all the dots about what is happening. I don't know why it seems that Christmas time people try to connect the dots of their life. As a pastor, I find people coming, and they want to go back to the year, and it seems like they weren't emotionally bothered by that, and they weren't tormented by that or tortured by that so much, but there's just something about this time of season where people try to make sense, or they struggle making sense with where they are, making sense of their life. They struggle connecting the dots. Everybody else seems to be happy. They're miserable. There seems to be a lot going on. No one else seems to be overwhelmed. They seem to be overwhelmed, and they're trying just the best they can to get a breath, to find footing, and they don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, let me tell you about the man who does. His name is Jesus Christ. And I kind of picture that chaotic moment with Mary. And the Bible is very careful to make sure to let us know that I think she was trying to connect some dots about what was going on in her life. And I think I can give you 3 dots that she connected tonight and a lot underneath them. I'm going to need you to write them down. But Mary was able to process this moment and to make sense out of this moment. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, I believe that when you come to chapter number 1 and you come to verse number 46, this is the magnificent that Mary is known for. And really, truthfully, this is Mary in verses 46 to 56, right, really singing a song and expressing her heart. And I think in that verses 46 to 56, that expression that is building with her in a praise and glorifying the Lord is really her communicating what she has been pondering in her heart and connecting the dots, and really how Mary made sense of the season of what is going on. Let me give you the first dot that Mary was able to connect, and I hope it's a blessing to you and don't ever forget it. The first dot that Mary was able to connect was she was able to make the connection between her soul and her spirit. Write it down. This is so practical to you that you don't even know how practical it is. Look, if you would, in verse number 46. Take your ink pen now. And Mary said, my, what class? My soul. Circle that. In verse number 47, and my, what class? Her spirit. Now Mary, in her song of praise, as she's pondering what is going on, and she's able to make sense of this moment, which is basically a Christmas moment, if you wanted to be pure about it, Mary was able to connect the dot in her life between her soul and her spirit. When I say your soul, I hope and pray that you get some kind of understanding that you possess a soul. A soul is a third of the way God made you. Listen to what the Bible says about your soul. The Bible in the Old Testament exalts the soul as that immaterial, conscious part of you. In the New Testament, it's defined as a spiritual part of us. Your soul, really and truthfully, is what makes you you. Listen to everything that is involved in your soul and what it can do, and you'll understand where I'm going in just a moment here. According to the Bible, the soul is your emotion, your mind, and your will. It's the inner part of you that is immaterial, but it is you. You can't see your soul, but we see the evidence of that soul. The Bible teaches us that a soul has feelings. Pastor, I feel horrible. That's your soul. Your soul can feel. Your physical body can feel. I feel pain in my hand. That's your physical body. Pastor, I feel pain in my emotion. That's your soul. You ever had pain in your emotion or in your soul? Say amen to that. All right. Your soul has the ability to think. Genesis 49. Your soul has the ability to love. It has the ability to loathe. Your soul can love God. It can loathe sin. Your soul has the ability to sin. Leviticus. Your soul is what you meditate with. Your soul has the ability to long for, to trust. Your soul can experience chastening. It is the soul of man that connects his desires and earthly appetites. Your soul can be thirsty. Your soul can be hungry. Your soul has an appetite. It's the soul of a man that longs for a woman. The soul of a woman that longs for a man. It is the soul within you that can be discouraged. Your body can feel pain. Your body can know death, but it is your soul that knows discouragement. When you're frustrated, that's your soul. When you're discouraged, that's your soul. When you're depressed, that's your soul. This is all within humanity. The Bible says the soul can be dried out. The Bible says the soul can know anguish. It can be grieved. The soul can know lust. It can long. And a soul can be cast down. This is part of your makeup. And if you don't understand how to connect your soul and your spirit, you're never going to be able to make sense or to know joy in your life. Watch what Mary does. Go back to verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify" who? The Lord. "And my spirit hath" what's that word? Rejoiced. Your spirit is never going to know joy if your soul is not right. Pastor, I just can't celebrate the holidays. Probably your soul, something's wrong with your soul. Pastor, I just can't get into the holidays. Something wrong with your soul. If it's not a physical pain that is keeping you from something, then what people try to communicate to the pastor is, everybody else around is happy. Everybody else is enjoying. Everybody else is doing anything. But me, I just can't make sense of what's going on. That's because you got an anguish in your soul. And the only thing, and the only one that will satisfy your soul is Jesus Christ. And Mary said, you want to make sense of this moment. You have to have as the magnification of your soul the person of Christ. It can't be on whether you can purchase gifts. It can't be on your happiness. It can't be on while other people are acting. If you don't learn how to let the Lord Jesus be magnified and the sole focus of your soul, S-O-L-E, of your S-O-U-L, then your soul is going to be disquieted. David said, why is my soul disquieted within me? And then he addresses his own problem in Psalm 42. He says, my soul will hope in God. He magnified the Lord in his soul, and his soul was at rest and appeased by the Lord. The natural flow of a satisfied soul is a rejoicing spirit. Well, Pastor, I'm not able now to rejoice in my spirit where I am presently. And it really bothers me at the holiday season. I get this all the time. You're never going to know the natural outflow of rejoicing in your spirit if you don't know the magnification of the Lord in your soul. The two go hand in hand. If you understand that, would you say amen to that? The magnification of the Lord in my soul will bring about the natural response of rejoicing and praise within my spirit. The second dot she could connect. In verses 48 to 49, write this down. She was able to connect the past and the future to her present. She was able to connect the past and the future to her present. It amazes me how when we get to this time of the year in people, as they analyze their life, and most of the time that's a negative experience for them, they measure their life accordingly to somebody else. They're not there. They concentrate so much on their present where they are, and they forget about the past that ought to help them with the present. And because they're concentrated so much on the present, the hope of the future is eliminated. Look, if you would, at verses 48 and 49. Watch what Mary does. She said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Verse 47. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." This is her present. Her present is, you know, he met me there in my low estate, in my humility. He met me there at a very insignificant time in my life. And a lot of times, no matter what the past has said and no matter what the future holds, we always see the present as just insignificant. We always see the present as negative. We always kind of base everything off of the present. We forgot about what God did in the past. We don't believe what God can do in the future. And if our present situation is negative, then just the rest of my life is going to be negative. Watch what Mary said here, verse number 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me what, class? Blessed. So she understands, she's connecting the dots here. She says, I'm in this low estate as a handmaiden, but from henceforth, there is a future. What God is doing in my present, I may not understand right now. What God is doing in my present may not make sense to me, but I know that as God is working in my present, that's going to be good for my future. Look how she works out her past. Verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me what? Great things. So she's pondering this and she's making sense. She's trying to connect the dots in her present of what's going on, and she's able to reckon, okay, here I am in my present, but I know that God has done great things to me in the past, and I know that God is going to do great things and use this for me in the future. So many people forget about how great God has been to them. We get in such a funk in our present. We get in such a blindness in our present. And we may not understand our present, and we're trying to make sense of it. And this is the case a lot of times at Christmas time, because you're getting ready to end the year in the negative, or you're getting ready to end the year and you got to pay taxes, or you got to get in the year and you're not satisfied with your job, or this didn't come true, or this didn't work out. And we're processing all of this. And it seems like, man, everybody else got what they want except for me. And then the old devil just begins to work on us. And we forget that how faithful God has been to us in the past. We forget to use that as help in the future. Listen, if God's been faithful in the past, he's going to be faithful in the present. He doesn't change. Well, Pastor, my circumstances changed. God didn't change. And we don't let that past faithfulness help us. Mary was able to say, whoa, man, I don't understand what God's doing right now, and I'm not even sure I'm making sense out of all this, but I know he has been, and I know that whatever he is going to do, he's going to be faithful in the future. And she was able to connect those dots in her life. If you do not connect God's goodness in the past with his faithfulness in the present, you will never have hope in the future. That's why they blow their brains out. That's why they quit. You rob hope in the future from the human soul, and life no longer carries value. But I got news for you. God has a plan for you. God has a will for you. And what God is doing in your present, he will reveal in the future. But I promise you, it will be for your good and for his glory. She was able to connect those dots. And you got to be able to connect those dots. If you're having a difficult time making sense of your present, go back and find God's faithfulness in the past. And then as that faithfulness builds in your present, it will bring a hope to your future. The third dot she was able to connect, and really quickly, I got to give you this because I don't get you anymore. She was able to connect biblical truth to difficult times. She was able to connect biblical truth to difficult times. Give you an example. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 examples, so get ready to write. First example is verse number 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and the last part of that verse says, holy is his name. The first biblical truth that Mary was able to connect to this time and difficult time to make sense is the fact that God does nothing wrong. He's perfect. He's holy. If his name is holy, then his character is holy. And she's making sense of all of this, what's going on. And really at the very foundation of that is that God is holy. God does nothing that is wrong. He has never erred in any capacity. He is perfect. And so God, whatever you're doing in my life, it must be a perfect act that you're doing in me. And she was able to trust that. When you're trying to make sense of what God is doing in your life, one of the first truths you need to ponder is that he's holy and that he's perfect. And whatever he's doing in your life, I promise you, it comes with his very character as being holy and perfect. You step outside of the understanding and stop believing that God is good or that he's holy or that he's perfect, and then you could begin to question the way that he works or become suspicious in the way that he works. The second truth she was able to connect was the preeminence of God in her life. Look at verse number 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him, reverence him. She connected the truth that God is perfect. Everything he does is perfect. She also reckoned her position as fearing God. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. She had a preeminence for the Lord. She had a reverence for the Lord. In her heart and mind, there was no one more important. There was no one more trustworthy. There was no one more that she wanted to obey. And there was no position she wanted to hold other than one where she feared the Lord. It's interesting. That fear is a reverential, like a child would reverence a father. It carries with it love. It carries with it protection. It carries with it honor. It carries with it all of these relational things. And I think about Christmas season, I think about things to ponder. When I think about connecting biblical truth to making sense out of my life, I've got a question: who is preeminent in my life and who's my allegiance to? To the Lord. Otherwise, then I'm examining over here, well, why is my life not as good as their life? And why is my happiness not as strong as their happiness? Or why are my suffering and they're not suffering? And what's going on here? And I begin to get comparative in my life. But I've got to realize, wait, just a minute. God has a single purposed plan for all of our lives. Number three, you better connect the biblical truth of verse 51. The Bible says, his mercy is on them that fear him. He has showed great strength. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and he has exalted them of low degree. Couple of things there. Write these down. You better connect the truth that nothing is impossible with God. He's all powerful. You better be able to connect the biblical truth that God is faithful and he is just in our lives. Nothing is impossible. He is faithful and he is just. Look at verse number 53. I know I'm going fast, but I'm running out of time. And I want to give you all these truths that you can study personally. Mary said, he hath filled the hungry with what kind of things, class? Good things. You better connect. If you're going to make sense of what's going on, especially in the Christmas season, and you're going to ponder truths, you better ponder the truth that God is good. He is good. He fills us with good things. I see in that verse that he knows our needs. He's able to meet our needs. You'd be amazed at how at the time of year when we ought to be celebrating the goodness of God, many people are questioning the goodness of God. I hope that's not you tonight. You'd be amazed at how people are not able to connect this biblical truth or this dot at this time of season, at this time of life. And then they begin to look at God as the Scrooge and begin to question his goodness. And then I love verses 53 and 54. I love how he says, and the rich he has sent away empty. Mary is talking about this. And sometimes when we're trying to connect our dots here and we think about truths to ponder this Christmas season, sometimes we always think that God is for the other person and not for me. I want you to write this dot down. God loves me and God is for me. Well, Pastor, God's for you because you're the preacher. Well, Pastor, God's for this person because God's for this person, or God's for these people, or God's for this. No, God's for all of us. He's no respecter of person. If you're saved in this room, you're a child of the living God. None of us are more important than any other one. And lastly, just write down with verse 54, you better be able to connect the biblical truth that God keeps his promises. So you should have an outline that says Roman numeral 1, connection between my soul and my spirit. My soul must be satisfied if my spirit is ever going to rejoice. And the only one that's going to, the only person that can satisfy your soul is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, buying your kid more Christmas presents is not going to enable you to rejoice. Receiving more presents is not going to be able to rejoice. Doing something radically different, a change, is not going to make you rejoice. Those are all short-termed. Spiritual rejoicing is the natural outflow of a soul where Christ is magnified. You better be able to connect your soul and your spirit. Pastor, I am not able to enjoy. Then you probably got a soul problem. Connecting dot number 2, I better be able to connect the future and the past and the future with my present. The past faithfulness of God and the future promise of God. God was faithful in the past. It ought to help me understand my present. It ought to bring hope to me in the future. And then you got to be able to connect biblical truth to difficult times. God is perfect. You better connect the biblical truth that I'm the fear of God and reverence and preeminent in my life. I better be able to connect the biblical truth that there's nothing impossible with God. Don't quit. You better connect the biblical truth that he's faithful and he's just. He's good. He is for me. And he keeps his promises. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Truths to ponder this Christmas. Keep them close. You're going to need them. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, making sense. Man, people spend a lot of time an effort trying to make sense of their life. And it seems like as we approach the Christmas season that this activity is magnified. Very rarely is it magnified to the positive. It's most of the time magnified to the negative. That's why the death rate is so high. That's why depression and discouragement rages upon this time. Joy is not something that can be forced. It has to come free. People try to make sense of where they are, and I'm talking sometimes even about Christian people, God's people. Mary was doing that. So much going on, so much change, overwhelmed. The Bible says, but she kept and she pondered these things in her heart. She was able to make the link between the Lord magnified in her soul and the rejoicing of her spirit. If I'm not able to know joy in this season, probably I got to go check on where my soul is focused. What have I exalted in my soul? All that the soul can do in our life, pretty important. Then I better be able to connect your faithfulness in the past with my present condition. And then I better allow that to help me to build a hope in the future. It's like people think that that December 31st is it and there's no January 1. There's always, as God enables it, there's a future that God will help us with. No, we're not promised it, but if we're there, God will meet our need. He'll bless us. We get so concentrated on our present, we forget about your faithfulness in the past, and it just robs us. So now we're just depressed and discouraged, and we live in our moment. And as we, the harder we try to make sense of that moment, the more angry we get. We get in trouble. And then she was able to connect biblical truth with difficult times. All those truths. We better be able to connect biblical truth with difficult times. And that builds in our lives. And that enables us to know joy. That enables us to celebrate. That enables us to make sense of life. Lord, we may not need these truths tonight, but we may need them before the end of the year. So I pray you keep them close to us. Bless us, God. Thank you for a wonderful night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, our hymn to go out. One verse, 271. Joyful, joyful. Stand if you would, lift your voice. See you on Sunday. God bless you.
God bless you. See you Sunday.